number of things that God is doing in our lives and what he has done on the mission field as he has allowed us to see. I'm not going to read every part of the book of Jonah, but we're going to see what happens here. We're going to see that God calls an unwilling prophet to an unlikely people, and as a result, he sees an unexpected response. Look here, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose to flee unto Tarsus from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarsus. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down unto it to go with them unto Tarsus from the presence of the Lord. Notice, first of all, God is calling Jonah to an unlikely people. The Ninevites were fierce enemies of the Jews. Nineveh was the capital city of a gigantic empire, the Assyrian Empire, that was to the north of Israel. And frequently, Assyrians would come down and make raids in the northern part of Israel. And at one point, God did allow them to take away captives. They hated the Jews. Now, you wonder, what was it about the Ninevites that was so fearsome? Well, it was this. The Ninevites would sometimes fight a battle, and they would bring back the surviving general that they had conquered and bring back this commander as a slave and torture him to death. What they really liked to do was dig a hole in the sand and bury that man alive up to his neck and then release the dreaded army ants to swarm upon that man and eat him alive. Karen and I saw those kinds of army ants in Africa. And they have the ability to swarm upon a small animal like a lizard or a rabbit or a frog and within a few minutes reduce that animal to nothing but bones. Well, perhaps Jonah thought he would become dinner for the ants. Perhaps he feared for his own life. We later find out he also said he did not want even to preach to the Ninevites because he didn't want God's message reaching them. But you see, God had another plan. And in his providence, we can shake our heads and say, why in the world did God choose this poor example for a prophet? Well, before you judge him, look back at yourself. Why in the world does God choose you and me? And yet he does. And we disobey him. How many times have we failed to open our mouth, just like Jonah? And yet, you'll notice that later on we'll see, when Jonah finally obeyed, and he just opens his mouth for one sentence, God works an amazing miracle. Now, one point here is, don't ever underestimate what God can do when you obey him and simply just open your mouth and tell about Jesus. You might just say a few words, but God can use it in a mighty way. Well, so God was calling Jonah to an unlikely people. Now, God has called my wife and I to go to Liberia. Now, if you didn't know anything about Liberia, other than the fact that it's a tropical country in Africa, that's about all I knew when I was challenged to consider Liberia. I had to find it on the map. But it is in that part of Africa that's the big nose of Africa, and it's kind of at the bottom of it near the equator. But if you didn't know where it was or anything about it, you could probably make a good guess. You could guess that it's probably a hot country, probably has diseases there like malaria and typhoid and cholera, probably has shortages of things that we like electricity and water and fuel for the cars, probably has unrest like in civil wars or thievery or kidnapping, probably not the safest place to live. Well, you would be right on all of those things. You guessed it perfect for many countries and for Liberia, in fact. The nation of Liberia started having military coups and their civil wars as far back as 1980. And then coup after coup after coup finally erupted in a full-blown three-way civil war in the late 1990s and continuing it until 2005, until they finally arranged for a ceasefire. The civil war was so bad that the opposing forces shipped everything out of the country that they could find that they could sell on the foreign market. They took the wiring that were from the electrical wires and melted it down for the copper, shipped it out of the country. They took rubber from the rubber plantation, stole it from the rubber company, shipped it out of the country. They took the best lumber and harvested it without any replacement, shipped it out of the country. And so very few things are left there that the country can sell for value. So it's been it's very devastated. And yet, people are rebuilding. Now, I say all that to say this. You think, is that really going to be the best place for God's message to be proclaimed? Don't think like that. Because you know what? God is the one that said, take the gospel to every creature. So our job is to sow the seed regardless of whether it falls on stony ground or ground with thorns or good ground. Now, in the case of Liberia, even though with our vision, it looks like an unlikely place. It's had wars, it's had problems. In God's eyes, it is the very place that He has for the gospel to go, and because their hearts are ready. The hearts are open. Now, we know what Jonah did. He was going to an unlikely people. And he was probably thinking, these Ninevites will never respond to God's message. He was probably thinking, they are the absolute enemies of God. They have defied God. They worship idols. Why should I go and preach to them? Jonah had the idea that the word of God was only for the Jews. Now, God was showing him that his love and mercy was not only for the Jews and not only for those that thought they were good enough, but it was for the entire world. So Jonah was sent. God said, go to Nineveh. Now, we know, secondly, that Jonah wasn't a very good excuse for a prophet. He was an unlikely messenger. We read in verse 3, but he rose up to flee. You see, Jonah didn't have it right. He thought that he could get away from the presence of God. You know what? A lot of people in America think the same way. Whether it's through drugs, or whether it's through sports, or whether it's through the internet, or you name it, they are trying to get away from God's presence, or they're trying to get away from the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And in doing that, they fail. You can't get away from God. There is no way. Jonah found out the hard way, and God graciously brought him back. And God had to produce God prepared a special fish and performed a series of miracles. By the way, people think that the book of Jonah just tells about one big miracle. And we think about the great whale. How? That was great. That was just part of it. First, God controlled the sailors on that ship. And God controlled the storm. God sent a storm. God allowed the sailors to throw Jonah overboard. And at just the right instant, God brings this specially prepared fish to swallow Jonah, probably saving him from drowning, and to keep him in his belly 3 days and three nights. Another miracle. No man can normally live inside of a sea creature 3 days and three nights and survive. And then when he's surviving, he's vomited back out on dry ground rather than on rocky ground or hard ground. And then he's still got to travel over 500 miles across land, across Syria and into what is now northern Iraq to finally reach Nineveh. You say, that's impossible. Exactly. But God did it. God did it. But here's the thing. What was the most incredible miracle? The salvation of the Ninevites. That God extended his mercy all the way to them. All right, so let's look. Jonah was an unwilling prophet trying to get away. When it says he went to Tarsus, that's in modern-day Spain, he was going west across the Mediterranean Sea when he should have gone east into northern Syria and Iraq. Wrong way, but God changed his journey. Now, about a year and a half, 2 years ago, my wife and I had finished our work in a remote island in the Western Pacific. And so we came back to America, and I said to our mission director, now we just joined this mission just a few months earlier, but I said, now, where we'd really like to go, we'd like to return to Africa, if at all possible. Is there any way we can return to Africa? And he said, I'll think about it. I'll look into it. A day later, he sent us a request from two missionaries in Liberia, and they were requesting for a missionary couple to come and help them in the work. And so that led to a survey trip, and then last year, a longer service over there. But now, when I was first challenged to think about Liberia, I must admit that that wasn't really what I was thinking about when I was asking him, can we go back to Africa? You see, I was thinking, what about if we get a nice, peaceful country that's high in the mountains, where it's nice and cool, and where there are no mosquitoes to bite me, and there's no diseases, and everybody gets along, and they love missionaries, and just a missionary paradise. Well, I don't know if there is such a place in the world, but that wasn't Liberia. Now, I had a reason for having some of those concerns. But the Lord reminded me that every concern I have, he said, I've already brought you through the first time you were missionaries. We did. God brought us through electricity shortages, water shortages, food shortages, gas shortages, gas line shortages. God brought us through a coup in the country where we were living in East Africa. And we actually woke up on Sunday morning and heard fireworks until a neighbor said they're not fireworks. It's AK-47s, and they're killing people on the streets. And so we truly had to stay at home to survive. But God brought us through that. But then the last thing was I had found out there's a lot of mosquitoes in Liberia, and I didn't want to get malaria because the first time we were missionaries, I got it four times. The fourth time, no drugs were working, and a doctor got my attention in the emergency room and held one drug, one pill in front of me and said, take this. It's the last drug we have. We're going to try it. And by God's grace, it worked. So I recovered from that and lived to serve the Lord up until now. So the Lord was reminding me, I'll take care of all these things. We came to the realization that God just wants us to step out and obey Him. He'll take care of the details. And however long we have, that's God's business. However we serve, whether we have a year or 10 years, that's the Lord's business. He just wants us to be faithful. Just like you, you're wherever you are, whatever you're doing, God just wants you to be faithful, to obey Him in whatever He says to do next. And that's what we're doing. And the next step for us is we're going to try to go back to Liberia and serve Him there. And we're just confident that whatever details, whatever inconveniences we have, God will take care of that. You know, we could say, well, I don't want to go there because it's hot or because there's diseases or because I can't have my favorite food or it's not, I can't have, and you name it. But you know what? Those things are very nice conveniences. And I could, if I decided that's what I'm going to live for, I want the conveniences, I would never go. And in fact, there are many people today, they decide they want the convenient American life, and some of them, they never come to salvation because they say, well, if I give my life to Christ, I'm going to have to give up. And they start naming the things they have to give up. But you know what? You can't take those things with you when you die. You can't take the good life that, when I say the good life, you know what people mean. They say, I've got to give up all these things. Well, it's more important to us to obey the Lord. And if He uses us to win people to Christ or to train people how to win others to Christ in Liberia, then there's that reward which will never pass away. So, all these objections, they weren't really objections, but I was thinking, what if, what if, what if? And God said, don't worry about it. Now, that's what Jonah should have said. Jonah should have said, okay, I'm not going to worry about all the details. I will go. He could have saved himself a lot of trouble if he had first obeyed the Lord and gone. Same way with us. You look back and think of when God said to do something and you disobeyed. And sometimes He has to chastise you like He did Jonah, maybe not with a giant fish, but He has to get your attention. And then when you finally obey, then you see, wow, God really worked something great here. Why didn't I obey Him to begin with? So don't blame it. Don't get too hard on Jonah. But so he was an unwilling prophet to an unlikely people. And then he saw an incredible response. We find that over in chapter 3. Finally, Jonah obeys. Verse 1 of chapter 3. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now I'm going to skip down to verse 4. What was his message? He said this, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. He was proclaiming that through the streets as he traveled throughout Nineveh. And look what happened. Verse 5, the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. The king got in on it and told everybody to fast. And then what it resulted in, to make a long story short, God forgave. And God decided not to destroy the city. Have you ever wondered how in the world could an entire city? Now look, we're potentially talking about several million people here, not just a little village. How in the world could that many people and the king decide on the basis of this one little sentence, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown? How could they decide on that basis to repent? Well, here's what was going on. First of all, the people of Nineveh worshipped a strange kind of fish god. It was a man on top and a fish on the bottom, like a man-made instead of a mermaid, okay? So this man-fish, and they believed this man-fish ruled the ocean and all the life in it. Now, they heard what had happened to Jonah before he arrived in Nineveh. And when they heard what had happened, they realized that the one true God that has delivered Jonah from the giant fish, that's the true God. And he has defeated our fish god. Now listen, unlike so many people that think they know better and think they can judge the Bible and say the book of Jonah didn't really happen, the Ninevites believed it. They heard what had happened to Jonah and they said, it's true. And they were afraid because then they heard Jonah is coming to town. Now, it's likely that Jonah's skin was still discolored. It's been documented when people have been swallowed by whales and then they've been brought out alive a day or two later, their skin has been bleached and is molted. It's possible that Jonah could be recognized by the way he looked. But somehow they knew that is the prophet. That's who he is. And so his coming to Nineveh was announced before he came, and then he's coming in and word spreads. The prophet of God is here and he has a message, and the message is doom for our city. They believed it. And you see, they believed the word of God. They believed the prophet of God, and God had put this tremendous fear of his judgment in their heart, and so they repented of their sin. You see, the people of Nineveh, they knew who had created the entire universe. They all knew that one God ruled over everything, but they had willingly turned against him. Does that sound familiar? A lot of people you meet here in America, they know there's one true God, but they don't want to have anything to do with him. They just say, I don't need that. I don't need that. I don't need that stuff, that religion or whatever. But what do they do when a big crisis comes or when they're on their deathbed? Sometimes they're crying out for God that they've rejected. Well, here's what Nineveh did. In their time of greatest crisis, they believed the word of God from Jonah. They believed that the one true God had delivered that prophet. And they believed that the one true God had defeated their fish god. And they didn't have any god to serve. If the fish god it can be defeated, we are at the mercy of the one true God. You see what happened? God knew the hearts of the Ninevites. They were wicked, yes, but God knew how they would respond when the right message came. And in God's incredible plan, he even used Jonah's disobedience and chastisement in the belly of that fish to move on the hearts of the Ninevites. So by the time all of this was put together in God's providence, one word, one sentence, and yet 40 days, Nineveh shall be destroyed. they turned to the one true God and repent, and God forgave them. God knows the hearts of every person that we speak to. There might be a person that you know and you think there's no way that person could ever, ever come to Christ. You don't know that. God does. Our job is to speak the word. Several years ago in secular work, I was working with a man named Daryl. Daryl was my exact opposite. He was a big, burly black American. He had his hair in dreadlocks. He had earrings on. He was fierce, and the words out of his mouth were not necessarily pure. But God gave me a burden for Daryl, and I started praying for him. One day he was alone in the locker room, and God said, give him a tract. Well, I was ready to say, Daryl, here's a tract, and then rush away. Daryl, here's a tract that means a lot to me. It tells how you can be sure you're going to heaven when you die. Do you know, he smiled, and he said, Don, thank you for giving this to me. I've been thinking about this lately. Well, he read the tract. We developed a friendship. He started attending church. He heard the gospel, and he got saved. Not only that, he went on to marry the woman he was living with and to become a faithful father to his children. Years later, I was leaving that company, and I overheard him say, a friend said, Daryl, come on and party with us. We're going to have a great time. And he said, I don't do that anymore. Jesus has changed my life. Amen. Now, here's the point. Just like God used Jonah to win an entire city to the Lord. Now, they didn't become Christians, but God forgave them and he saved them. Now, just like God used him in that situation, God can use us. If we would just obey the Lord and step out in faith and just do one thing, it might be one word, it might be one tract, but God can use that. One of the things that we seek to do in Liberia is to proclaim the gospel with pictures. We find most of the people that we communicate with cannot read or write. And rather than take time and a long time, however it takes, to teach them how to read or write, we are using pictures, as you saw on the video. And one of the things that I have used is a picture of a cross, which is a bridge between a world that is perishing to eternal life. And we tell people, this teaches that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the bridge. And by trusting in Jesus, you too can cross the bridge from death to life. Just before I left Liberia, I trained the believers in our church how to use a little card like this to tell people about Jesus. After I left last December, the pastor started organizing people into teams, having them go into surrounding villages with this booklet, and they were seeing people saved every week. So that's the kind of thing. Now, we find the people in Liberia, although they are poor in the earth's possessions, they have the potential for becoming rich in faith, as it says in James. And God knew their hearts, and so he's given us a burden to go and share the gospel and to teach them how to share the gospel to their people. What we really like to do is to equip Liberians to reach their own people, equip pastors to train their own people. And we began doing that last fall, and it's our hope that we'll be able to continue later on. Now, you're thinking, well, whatever happened to the Ninevites? God forestalled his destruction. However, a little more than 100 years or 150 years after that, the whole city of Nineveh was utterly destroyed. God gave them time. And that nation, that generation that heard Jonah repented, but the sad thing is they somehow did not pass on the faith to the next generations. And then finally there came a time when God said, enough is enough, the whole thing is going to be destroyed. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 40, that there's going to come a time when God will bring the Ninevites in Jonah's day back from the dead, and they will condemn the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees that did not believe. So that by Jesus saying that, we know that those Ninevites will be with the Lord in glory. Now, it is amazing then that God had such compassion for an evil people that he wanted the word to reach them and he wanted his message to reach them. Now you see, God wants us to reach everyone and the whole world with the message of Jesus Christ. And so that eventually, as it says in Revelation 5, verse 9, that eventually there will be an uncountable number of people in heaven. They will come from every tribe, from every language, from every people, from every nation. And we have the privilege of being a part of that. So I want to thank you for the opportunity to bring this to you. I want you to think, as the pastor comes up for closing out the service, think, is there someone that you think is unreachable for the gospel? Then would you think of that person and ask God to show you how to present a word about Jesus to that person? Whoever you think cannot be reached, God knows there is a way. So, Pastor, would you like to finish out the invitation, please?